And he's dealing here with some things that we're all going to have to deal with sooner or later. Amen? I believe he's dealing with here, he's dealing with the end of life issues and our life issues that we go through here in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. And you have to pardon me. A little bit of a dry throat, but you pray for us. And as we look at this scripture, now I don't have a hard outline. I don't have a whole lot of notes. I've got the Word of God here, and we talked a little bit about this some stuff last night about how many people have died in our family, and I was talking to your pastor and how many funerals. But you know what? When I got home, I got back in the room. Home is wherever a missionary is laying his head, by the way, so don't get confused. I didn't go home last night, but that, we just sold our rolling home yesterday on the way down here on the phone. I mean, that's something else. You know, that's where you do business, riding down the road if you're a missionary. So wherever we lay our heads, home. We had a motor home and it sold yesterday. So we're getting really close. We're getting about 50%. So it won't be long. But I got in the floor on my face before God, and I said, God, where do you want me? What do you want me to do? I don't try to get ahead of God. I've got ahead of God many a times and got in trouble. So I try not to get ahead of God. I just want, what do you want me to do? And he said, you go over to Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, and read. You go here and read there. So we're going to go here and we're going to read there. And I read this scripture last night and studied a little bit about this and looked at it and tried to get us just exactly what God would have us to have out of this scripture. And I'll tell you a little bit. My father died in February. My wife's father died last June. And on our first year of deputation, we missed about 5 months, and still God gave us 50% of our support. Glory to God, he never lets us down. And he's taking care of us. And before that, her sister had died. I think she said she had six members of her family. We've had deaths, and my grandmother's, and just one after another. And we're dealing with that, something that everybody's going to have to deal with sooner or later. And I don't want to be morbid or mean or hateful or try to worry anybody or try to bring everybody down, but there's reason for rejoicing in here. My children rejoice. I said rejoice in Jesus Christ. If you are his, you can rejoice. Amen. And we can know what a blessing it is to know that I know I'm going to be with Jesus someday. I tell you, this morning I told everybody I lived in the mountains and we holler across the hollers. Thank you, brother. Amen. I can use that. And we do holler across the hollers, amen, so I get a little excited, and especially when it comes to Jesus, amen. Because I knew where I was headed, I knew what I was before he saved me as a young boy. It didn't take much to let me know I was on my way to hell. And what a time, what a reason for rejoicing is no longer that's my eternal destiny. But we have some divine providence we're going to have to deal with. And we got to learn that it's all about what God has to say. Somebody told me one time about a funeral, said, never tell them that God's got a plan. I looked and I thought for that, and I threw that away real quickly, because I'm going to tell you something. I am so glad that God's got a plan. The only thing that makes me feel better about things, about what's going on around me, and about seeing death and seeing someone lose a battle to cancer or some other thing, like my father lost a battle, he fell and things just cascaded on him and he passed away. Her father died of complications from the war. And when I see that happening, I'm just, the only thing that gives me any comfort is, glory to God, he has a plan for me. Amen. And it's about him. He said, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, those called according to his purpose. Amen. He has a plan. You remember that. As you deal with the things in your life, and it may be hard to see, there's many a time when my daughter got sick, I didn't understand. But God has a plan. Only worried about what was going on in her life, and come to the end and find out, and just knowing God's got a plan made a difference. And I've seen change. Pray for us as we read. For all this, in the 9th chapter, in the first verse, for all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. Yeah. Amen. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked. To do good and to the good and to the clean and to the unclean. To him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun. There is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil. And the madness is in their heart while they live. And after they go, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Now listen to this. We know that once even David said, how can I praise thee from the grave? Amen? He realized that once it's over, it's over. And the only thing that's going to stand once it's over is what we've done here and what we've left behind for his name. Amen? There are so many times that the men spend their lives gathering and gathering and gathering and building up only to go to the same grave that the drunkard down on the street went to, and it's all over. Amen. But what we do with what we have, amen, what you do with what you have, he told us that one that had one talent. He buried it in the ground. That one that had five talents, he did something to it. And on like that, we know that what we're looking at there is what God gave you. Now, first of all, you're going to have to deal with the number one question: Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Have you surrendered to Him in salvation? Amen. That's the first thing. That's the first and foremost thing. If it's not dealt with clearly, then we're going to have a problem. You may not understand why I can rejoice in knowing that my dad is waiting on me. My grandmother's waiting on me. Her dad is waiting on me in heaven. I can rejoice and know that because right here he says, and he tells you not to die. I said, don't stop now. Don't stop now. You're still alive, brother. Amen. You are still alive. If you're here today, you're still alive. If you're here today in Christ, you've got reason to rejoice. Amen. Look here in the next verses. Look at this. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart. He's talking about having joy in your life. But you're not going to have joy in your life. I've seen many people with millions of dollars. I build them houses. We built houses for them. I've worked with them on multi-million-dollar projects and watched things go. All the money they have, and they have not one bit of joy in their life. Because I'm going to tell you what, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Amen. And it manifests itself in love, joy, love, and peace, and all those things that manifest. But I'm telling you right now. The fruit of the Spirit is love in your life. And you'll have joy in your life. And that joy is not something, it's not happiness. People get joy and happiness all mixed up. You can give me $1 million and make me happy. Amen. But it's not happy in the Lord. Boy, I'm going to hoop and holler. I'm not going to go right down here and buy a bunch of lottery tickets hoping I might. But if somebody was to give me something, somebody gave me a fiddle. I've got it over in the room right now, and it's an old handmade fiddle from the mountains from Topton, North Carolina. An old man a long time ago made it in the 50s. It's handmade, hand-carved. The way he did it was a special way of doing it. It's a beautiful instrument, and it made me happy. Amen. And maybe I can play it someday, get it set up and get it fixed, get it going, and I can play it and bring joy to somebody's heart and play the right music on it. But the joy comes from the Lord. Amen. And this is what he's talking about. He said, go thy way, eat bread with joy. You are here today. You, if you are saved today, you can rejoice. We don't have to act like the dead. Amen. We can get up and, get with it. Amen. Do everything you can. He said, do all things as unto the Lord. And he's talking about when you go to work. I was talking to a great big mountain of a man a while ago, and I don't see him. But I was talking to him, and he was talking about his job, and we were, hey, you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to go do that job with joy in your life. Because if you go do that job with joy in your life, even though there's things you're going to face that are going to try to destroy you, Satan's out there to destroy you. Satan comes along to destroy you. That's what his purpose is. And if you can keep ahead of that old buzzard and stay ahead of him and follow God and listen to what God has to say and put enough of the Word of God in your heart, amen, there's no reason why we can't fight those battles and have joy in our heart. Because, amen, when my dad was on his last few hours, he was singing Amazing Grace the best he could. Amen. He, glory to God, he told the doctor, he told one of those palliative care psychiatrists come by, and he said, are you feeling anxious? And he looked real funny. He said, what are you saying? He said, were you worried? He said, what do I got to be anxious about? What do I have to worry about? He done told him to quit. He said, I can't take anymore. You're killing me, trying not to kill me. He was smothering. He was drowning. But glory to God, I'm not preaching my dad's funeral up here. I'm not preaching death. I'm preaching joy in my heart. Amen. I'm preaching joy in Jesus Christ. Yeah. We eat our bread with joy. God, everything you've got come from the Lord. Amen. From the fiber in this carpet to the steeple on the roof, to the grass that's growing outside, amen, everything belongs to him. He got a hold of me with that a long time ago. Both sides of the river are his. Not just this world's not, doesn't belong to the devil, amen. He may be here. He may have been cast down here for a season, but his end is near, amen. And the one that created all things, my Savior, the one that hung and bled and died on the cross of Calvary, he is going to be ruling this thing. He's coming back to take over someday, and we're going to be with him, amen, in glory, amen. When it's all, by the way, I'm a premillennialist. I'm sorry if that offends anybody, but I'm tribulation rapture premillennialist. He's taking me out of here. He's going to judge this world, and we're going to come back and rule and reign with him forever. Hey man, I've got something to have joy about. I see the wickedness in the world like he's talking about here. Amen. I see good men die early. I see good men work hard and die with nearly nothing. And I see wicked men work hard, live long lives, and die with millions or billions. Amen. But all things come to the end. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Amen. This is what he's talking about here. But that man that's living wickedly can have no joy. He don't know what joy is. We get joy, joy, joy. You know, we talk about it. Don't postpone joy. See it on the bumper stickers. They already have. They've not accepted Christ. I'm telling you right now, happiness and joy is two different things. You've got to remember that. Amen. Make me happy. It's about, by the way, it's about happenings. It's where the word comes from. It's about happens, what happens to me. And I'm happy in it. I have happiness because of the happening. Amen. I can be happy in Jesus. You know what that is? That's joy. That's not really happiness. That's joy. That comes from above. That comes from him and can only come from him. And if we can eat those things, he said, go thy way, eat thy bread, and drink thy wine with merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Listen. Amen. Before you're saved and all those works you were doing, all those things you were doing, even on your job, those things that you were trying to get done in your life, they weren't really blessed of God. They were, don't get me wrong, God takes care of even the sinners till they can bring them to a point of repentance, and he takes care of them. But amen, if you really, but once you got saved, all that changed. Hey man, now it's got the blessings of God on it, what you're doing, what you're working. And if you can do that with the right attitude and the right spirit on the job, and I know some jobs I worked in for a government agency, and it's the hardest thing in the world for a Christian to do today, because I'm going to tell you, corruption's from the White House to the courthouse steps in your fair, beautiful town here of LaGrange. It's corrupt. Hey man, I've seen it everywhere. You can't get away from it. It's hard, but I'm going to tell you what. I went into that job with a servant spirit because I served the public. I served my fellow man. And there's no better way to serve God than to serve your fellow man in everything that you do. Amen? We have to have a servant's heart. It's going to take a servant's heart to do those things, to have a merry heart. For now he accepts our work. But amen, if we do our work with a servant's heart. I heard one man say, everybody here works for somebody. And he was seemingly at the top. But everybody works for somebody. Amen. Amen. And we're to do what we're to do as unto. If we do it as unto Christ. And I know there's going to be some people that aren't happy with it because we live our lives for Christ. Amen. There's going to be some people. I face those things on the public job in a local government agency. I receive the rebuke for living right and doing right. I know what it's like. But once you do, if you do what you do for the Lord, as unto Christ, like He commands us, do all things as we're doing it unto Christ, is what He's telling us. A man can complain all he wants. But you can do no better if we do it as unto Christ. Let thy garments always be white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Here we're looking at a picture of a wedding, I believe. In the white garments, they would wear their white, to get their best garments out, they'd be white. And they would celebrate for a while. That sometimes a Jewish wedding would last for 7 months. Or not 7 months, 7 days. Amen. The wedding itself would last for 7 days. Now would do good if the marriage lasts 7 months. But amen. But they're talking. This here is talking about those garments, those white garments. I remember back in over in John the second chapter, and I don't want to be too scattered. But there he said, and on the third day there was a wedding in Canaan of Galilee, and there was a great celebration. If you look at that scripture, you'll find if you start over in the first chapter of John and work through, there was already 4 days. And then he said, then on the third day there was a wedding. Amen. Glory to God. We need to keep our garments spotless because there's going to be a wedding someday. Amen. That was a wedding. That's what he came to prepare us for. Amen. Was that wedding. That was his first miracle. But it was what he's going to do in the end. His first miracle was a symbol of what's going to happen at the end. And there's going to be a great wedding. He's talking about wedding garments here. And we look at here. It says, wear your white garments. He said, let thy garments be always white. He's telling us something here more than just about. If we're going to have this joy in our hearts, we're going to have to keep our garments spotless. I'm not talking about sinless perfection, but I'm saying daily, we need daily bread and daily cleansing. We need to confess, amen? We need to repent every day. Now you're hearing what I'm saying. Hey man, you had to repent to get saved. You had to have a change of mind that went to change of heart that told you to look toward Christ and not your works, amen? We have to, and that's what he's telling us here. Keep our garments. White. He said he's telling us here. Let your garments always be white, and let thy head lack no ointment. He was keep our hearts clean. Keep our hearts clean. Keep our garments white. He said, "How did they make their glory to God?" I just about can't say. How did they make their garments white? They washed their garments white in the blood of the Lamb. And that lamb that was slain from the beginning, all the way back from the foundation of earth. Did you know if you're here today and you're lost, you don't have to be. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have to leave in that condition. For one reason, because Christ died on the cross of Calvary for your sin. And he wants to do something for you. Amen. He said, keep our garments white. He's telling us, let thy garments always be white. Not only that, let thy head like no ointment. Whoa, we look at this oil, that ointment that they put on. Glory to God. There's one place in the Bible there's two places in the Bible it talks about the balm of Gilead. There is a balm in Gilead. And amen. And you know those people that carried Joseph into captivity down into Egypt when his brothers sold him? They were taking their balm, and they were from Gilead, taking their balm back to sell it. Let me tell you what he's talking about, what this is talking about here. Out there in those oil lamps, we look at in those oil lamps, that's what they are. They have olive oil in them. And that's what they based their ointments and their things that they would anoint the priest with. But that, you know, if you take that little oil lamp, there's one of them back there that came from Romania. The rest of them are replicas of biblical time oil lamp. But you take that little oil lamp and you fill it with oil, put a little wick in it, and it'll burn and gives off light. But you know that the olive oil is heavy oil, and it'll only wick approximately one inch. If you don't keep that lamp full, it starts getting down to the bottom, it'll burn the wick up. And this oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. This oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. The oil in that lamp is a picture of the Holy Spirit, to where it keeps our lights burning. It helps us keep our when we're convicted by the Holy Spirit of something in our lives, we just need to deal with it. And I'll tell you what, I want to live with God's convicting power on my life every day. I want to get closer today than I was yesterday. I have learned a long time ago to keep my mouth shut and listen. That's why, and we all know, we got two eyes to watch. We got two ears to listen. We got one mouth. We ought to be not using it as much as our eyes and our ears. Amen. I've learned. My wife gets upset with me because I don't talk much anymore. But I've learned to think more than I talk. Amen. God wants us to put the word in. And with wisdom and understanding, spread that light to a lost and dying world. We've got to keep that. We've got to learn more about His word. We've got to learn more about His will and keep our garments spotless and keep that full of that oil in our lives. We have this promise in earthen vessels. Amen. We're just earthen vessels. God has told us through His servant Paul that we have this. We have this promise in earthen vessels. This is an earthen vessel we have. And we need to keep it clean. Amen? We need to live right. We need to live with the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to have that holy anointing on our lives so that we can live. Amen? And He wants to come into your heart. And He wants to be a part of your life if He's not. Amen? So that you can live with His power in your life, so that you can live clean and you can live holy and you can keep your garments. And I'm not talking about we're going to have to wash our garments daily. Amen? I got this white shirt on and already there's a ring around the collar. How do you get rid of those things? A ring around the collar. Amen. You remember that old commercial? You try scrubbing it out, you try washing it out, and you can't get it out. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you one that can get it out. I'm going to tell you one that can wash it clean. Amen. If it wasn't for Him, I would collapse under the guilt of my own life. I couldn't stand to bear it. But when I don't know anything else, when the Satan is on the attack and I'm under the worst, in the worst battles, I just thank God that I'm forgiven when I know nothing else. That He forgave me and He washed it white. And I can always call on Him, get on my face before God and ask Him to forgive me of my sins, cleanse my heart. You know, there was 10 virgins in Matthew. 5 had oil and 5 didn't. But you know what they said? You know what the word really says? It said, they all slumbered and slept. It's not just about the 5 virgins that didn't have oil that were typical, that were signs of, were types of those who are lost forever. It's about the 5 that did and didn't warn the 5 that didn't. Amen. Somebody asked my dad, my brother asked my dad, after serving in the church for years, Dad, my brother asked him, said, Dad, are you sure you're ready to go? Just smiled and said, yes, son, I'm ready. How many times have you ever cared enough to ask one of your loved ones, are you ready? We sung about it today. If he came today, would you go? Are you ready? That's what the most important thing we can ask people around us. When the Christians in America, the born-again Christians in America, start getting a burden for the lost around them, and I don't know any problem. I know churches go through problems, but I know the biggest problem is not. Churches can grow into families. One thing, these young people back here are the hope of any church. Amen. Raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But I've seen so many churches grow. Just ask your brother. Ask your wife. Ask you. Hey, man, glory to God. I know a preacher's wife said that. Preacher told me the other day, said my wife made a profession when she was, bless her heart, she made a profession when she was young, and it wasn't real, and she had to deal with that. Amen. And what a blessing it was one day somebody cared enough to preach the truth and tell them about Jesus. Are they ready? Are you ready? Is your neighbor ready? Is people... If you just ask those questions, churches will grow. Amen. He said, let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no oil. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life. He looks to sounds to me like Solomon learned a lesson the hard way here. Amen. He's talking about that wife that God gave him. Hey, so many families are busting today, and I if you get caught in that, I'm not judging nobody, but there's so many families that are busted up today, and that's the strength of any church.
Yeah.
Starts in the family. Said, love the wife. Live joyfully with a wife. I mean, again, this joy has to come from God. And if you can live joyful, there's so many things in our lives, in our families today, and I'm being guilty of it. It's not showing the joy of the Lord in my home. And it has an adverse effect on your family and your children and your grandchildren. Let God take... You know, I'm just going to cover this joy part because I like the joy part. That's why we're all going to face death. But we got to live like we're alive. We got to live like we've got the right garments on. We got to live like we've got the right clothes on. We got to live like we're ready to meet Him, and we got to be ready to meet Him.
Amen.
Amen. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity, which He hath given thee under the sun, which He hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy mind. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Remember, during the presentation, the fields are white already to harvest. There's a song, the church... My house is full, but my fields are empty. I remember somebody singing that at a conference about 3 weeks ago. What a blessing it is. What truth there is to it. I'm not asking anybody to do anything. I just want people to understand it's what you do. It's what you do daily. It's going to make a difference in the life of your family, in your children, in your church, in your community. It's not the pastor. Pastor can do everything he can do. I can't go over to Romania and do anything but teach those and preach the Word of God and let the Word of God take root in their heart. See their life changed and help them to understand and guide those people and show them Jesus every time they need something. Take them back to the cross of Calvary. Take them back to the one that can provide it in ways I don't even understand. What a miraculous God He is. That He can provide all of our needs according to His riches and glory that I don't understand. Unsearchable riches. Point them all to Jesus. If you'll point them to Jesus, Let them see Jesus in your life. Let them see Jesus in what you say and what you do. It's a hard thing for all of us sometimes because we're in this flesh, but we got to keep our eyes on the cross of Calvary. And whatsoever thou do, listen. Whatever you do, we do it as unto Christ. Whatever your hands come to do, we do it as unto Christ. Amen.